Welcome to Current Situations Radio on BBS Radio. It's your girl, Noelle Jones, with my beautiful co-host, Renee Rees. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Noelle. Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Today, I have a very special guest, Mr. Anthony Hollywood McDade. Hi, Anthony.
Whoa, whoa. Hi, you guys. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I just want to say first, thank you for having me on the show, and I want to give out a shout-out to your beautiful co-host, Nae Nae. How you doing, Nae Nae?
Hi, Hollywood.
Okay, you know, I just wanted to just touch base quickly on, like, interracial relationships, you know? It's like, I understand that a lot of our black men are incarcerated and, you know, the percentage of women to men is just outrageous, and
yes,
some women are just forced to, like, go in a whole different direction racially to, like, find happiness. And I just feel like, you know, the battered women, the bitter woman, the abused woman, the struggling black woman, I mean, they still have to give our brothers a chance. You know what
exactly
I'm saying?
Exactly. And I do still believe,
like,
that there are some good men out there, some good black men.
Thank you. And I just feel like they're just too quick to push our brothers to the side, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we go through a whole lot ourselves, and, you know, we do live in white America, you know what I'm saying? And so it's hard for everybody. And you take, like, kids, for example, that's in middle school and high school, you know, they get a white girlfriend and a, you know, a black couple, interracial couple, they think it's cool, you know?
Right.
Other women think that maybe it'd be cool to have a biracial baby. How cute is it be? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And as long as, you know, as long as we're not teaching these kind of principles and morals and ethics in our home, then our kids are going to grow up to think that it's cool. You know, and where does that leave the black race?
Well, some people may think that love is colorblind, that
that's
it
true
doesn't matter.
And it doesn't. But at the end of the day, the black race will become what?
Extinct.
Thank you, that point. And that's what's going to happen unless we welcome, you know, our black brothers, our black man, you know, back, you know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
You know, everybody saw the O.J. Simpson trial. That's how it's going to turn out. No, I'm just joking. But
don't say that.
No, I'm just saying, you know, sisters need to just, you know, welcome our brothers back home, you know what I'm saying? And because it's like it's so easy to check out somebody else's anatomy. You know what I'm saying? They got the booty shots going. They got the breast shots going. I mean, you can get dimples. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, everything. So I know a lot of brothers is just looking at the anatomy of a woman. But, you know, that's a whole other subject. But
okay. Can I ask you a question?
Anything.
Have you always dated within your race?
No. No, not
at all.
And
why is that?
Well, I'll tell you why. When I was in high school,
mm-hmm,
someone said to me, damn, nigga, oops.
Oh, you're well, free.
Okay, you should have a baby by a white chick, right? And that's all it took. That right there planted the seed, and ever since then I have dated outside of my race. Ended up having a child by a white girl, right?
Right.
And believe it or not, we don't even speak anymore. Me and the child don't speak. He's a grown man now, but
and does he
so
consider himself a black man, or does he consider himself a mixed man or biracial? What ethnicity does your son identify with?
Now, that's a good question, and I'm not really sure. I know if he filled out an application, he would have to fill out African American. But if there was a check mark for biracial, he'll probably check that. So I think he considers himself black, though, at the end of the day.
And because in all reality, there is no check mark, or there's no box for biracial.
Right.
In any type of application or anything we deal with in America, there's that box does not exist. So you have to identify with one or the other.
Right. And see, I think he identifies with both because I wasn't in his life as a child growing up. So he didn't have that blackness growing up. So he grew up white.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's a long story. That's a whole different subject. But the thing is, I'm back with my baby's mama, my other baby's mama.
And she's a black woman?
Yes, absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So it's like I came on back home because it just didn't work. And I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm just saying, you know, if black women start dating outside their race, then what choices does the black man have? That's all I'm saying.
Well, as a black woman, I'm saying that sometimes the black woman may feel like the black man needs to step up a little bit more. You know, they play a lot of games, you know. They want to be players. They want to be gangbangers. They want to rob. They want to steal. I hope I'm not sounding too stereotypical. But
I was
going to
say, we're on a very touchy matter this segment. This is very touchy. I'm almost afraid to speak.
No. I mean, I appreciate you guys keeping it 1,000 because I was like that once upon a crime, too. You know what I'm saying? Hey, I was a real go-getter and womanizer and had 3 baby mamas, a wife, a girlfriend, and a host of little broads. You know what I'm saying? I'm out there doing my thing. Okay, so I feel what you're saying. And I used to be a couch potato. I used to be a lazy hustler, wouldn't work. You know what I'm saying? Straddling the fence, wouldn't go to church. You know, all that.
Right.
So I understand. I understand the struggle.
And if you're a black successful woman, you're going to want someone else successful on your side, whether black, Filipino, white, Mexican. If we can build together.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Now, that's all good and everything. No help. That's all good. And I'm sorry, but it's just not that easy. Because you take the black men that are incarcerated.
Yes.
What do you think their wives and girlfriends are doing besides struggling? I tell you
missing
what they're doing.
Missing them, struggling, raising their family, their kids alone.
No. Trust me. I've been there firsthand, and all of them, what they're doing is telling the dudes in the background to hold on for a second because this is my baby daddy, you know what I'm saying? So this nigga's on hush-hush, and she over there with your nephews, she over there with the homies, you know what I'm saying? She telling you to send him a green cat car. This cat in the background shaking his head like, nope, it ain't going to happen. Why? Because she's locked up. He can't do nothing for her, not even knock her down, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's these kind of morals and principles, you know, that be having a black man getting out of prison going, you know what, she just dogged me out. So I'm through with black women. So
well, I do personally, Anthony, know some very strong black women who have waited for their men/husbands to come home and were 100% faithful to them, still looked out, sent packages, green dye cards and everything else, only to come to find out that the guy in prison, he was running game on 2 or 3 other females, having different females visit them every other week. And I personally know people like this.
Well, I don't mean to kind of round about the subject, but what I'm getting from him is his main point is he's trying to tell the sisters not to give up on the black man, but in my opinion, I think the black man has given up on the sisters way before this even became an issue. And so now, in turn, we do have black women that ultimately have kind of given up on the black man because feel they're
that
in competition
part.
With white women. They feel that they're in competition with other races, so they kind of have kind of given up. But I think this stems back before we even got to this point. I think the black man gave up on the black women before this because they're known to be the words that he used, bitter, antagonizing, violent.
Oh, my God. Always. You're acting like there's nothing positive that comes out from a black man. Let me give you a example.
And vice versa.
I get out of prison 1 year, right?
Okay.
I'm on parole. Okay? Now, I've been gone for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? I come back home. You know, I'm trying to pick up where I left off. You know, I'm trying to, you know, see how to work this new cell phone they got cracking. I got to report to my PO. I got to apply for general relief. I got to get down with the game program. I got to fit back into society. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm trying to get me a job. You know, I'm trying to, you know, I ain't trying to get my hustle on or nothing, you know, but, you know, I'm adapting. Now, how long do you think it would, do you think a black man would have to get his act somewhat together? Let's say, what, 90 days, 120 days? I mean, coming from a black woman, how long are you going to give him to get his act together?
As long as I saw him trying, I would totally be supportive. And the time limit that I probably would put on him would be 6 months.
Okay. Now, I'm fresh out, right?
Right.
You know, I got that high pro glow going, you know what I'm saying? I'm healthy, you know, I got the waves popping, you know what I'm saying? Females, you know, they looking at me like, ooh, fresh fish, you know what I'm saying?
Right, now, right.
Now, I say I'm with my baby mama. And, you know, she see him looking at me before I see him looking at me, right? But now, she gets an attitude. Now, mind you, I'm fresh out.
Right.
I ain't been free. I should be able to walk up in Walmart and Target and, you know, catch a, you know, female's eye, you know what I'm saying? I'm respecting her pimping, you know what I'm saying? But next thing you know, it goes from that into all in my cell phone. Come to find out, I'm keeping in touch with this broad. Keeping in touch with that broad. But these are
and
the
then
same
that's
people.
The problem.
Why is
I
that
see
a problem?
The antagonizing person here. But
next thing you know, she wants to pick some white dude.
From my opinion, you can't, you know, keep blaming the. From my opinion, black men seem to blame the black woman for their problem.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, all of that blaming has gotten to us to the point where we are. So it's like, you, as a black man, we are meant to follow behind your lead. So if you're acting up and you're misbehaving and you're going to jail, you're not doing right, we have
do
nothing to follow behind.
Do you hear the words coming up in your mouth? Listen, you know what I had to tell my baby's mama? I said, look here, mommy, I got one parole agent. I don't need two. You heard me? That's because everywhere I go, you know, she all over my shoulder. And, you know, I go to check my P.O. box. I open up my P.O. box, she all over my shoulder like, I got a broad in the P.O. box. You know what I'm saying?
Obviously, it sounds like baby mama has trust issues.
Thank you.
Now,
thank
have
you
now. Ever given her a reason not to trust you?
Well, now let's flip that. Let's ask if she's given me any question, any doubt, not to trust her. Because, you know, I've been gone for 5 years. So
I hate to be the person to keep saying that, you know, as a black woman, we understand it, but it's like we're tired of hearing that. Like, this is excuses for not being on your job. Like,
At what point does baby's mama say, you know what, I understand you fresh out and everything, and, you know, you catching the broad line and everything, you know, as you should. And just, you know, kind of roll with it instead of turning the nose up at me and, you know, acting like I committed a Class A felony. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm on my way back to the penitentiary because I was looking at a couple of broads up in Target. You know what I'm
well,
saying?
It sounds like baby mama.
She think I'm about to go. Look, she think I'm about to go through the self-checkout line and put that bra in the bag.
Well, tell me this, Holly.
Well, I think we're kind of getting off subject here, you know, but I think black women have a no-nonsense attitude.
Man, they just need to welcome us black brothers. That's all I'm saying. Give us more of a chance. That's all I'm saying. Before they be quick to run into the arms of another person of non-color, and next thing you know, our race is going to be extinct, and you know what I'm saying? Ain't going to be no more blackness on the planet. I'm just trying to keep it going.
That is
and that's
so
keeping
true.
It real. That's keeping it real. That's 100. I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
But like I said, also, I like to go back to the point of where our brother is not to give up on the sisters first. You know,
Okay.
Stop falling into the idea of that because black women are no nonsense and a little bit harsh around the edges that they're not worth it. So I think it's a mutual thing, and we have to do that as a society first and foremost and stick to the script. Otherwise, you will have, you know, I consider myself the resident biracial child, so I have a lot of issues. And when you start discussing interracial relationships, I automatically jump to the children. And I think that's the part that we also don't evaluate and we don't consider when we're having children outside of the race is those children and how they grow up and the problems that they go through and the lack of being able to identify in America with one race
exactly.
or the other. And that puts a lot of stress and problems on a child growing up in America.
Thank you.
So
thank
that
you.
Is
that
always
part.
My main focus.
Thank
That's a
you.
Very,
that part.
A very
that
good
part.
Point, Renee.
Mm-hmm. Because it's like a whole different upbringing. You know what I mean?
It really
now,
is.
They get confused as to their identity. You know?
It's very confusing. And then in America, you know, you have white people or people telling you that you're black. And then you have black people that are telling you that you're white. So you
exactly.
don't really know where or who to identify with. And it takes a long time for a person already to learn themselves and identify with who they are naturally, even if you have something to go. If you're not 100% black, because there's really no 100% black, but if you identify mostly and you look and appear to be black, you still have a lot of problems identifying yourself and finding yourself. So as a child in that situation, it makes it even more difficult. And then you have to be able to come to an idea of who you are based off your life. Like you might have biracial children, like you said, your child was raised by white parents, maybe possibly in the suburbs, really doesn't
right.
identify with being black. We're on the
right.
exact opposite where I was raised in the hood, and I didn't even realize that I was mixed. I mean, I knew my mom was white, but everybody else around me was black, and I always considered myself black. So there's a
and
lot of different issues that you can't just throw a whole group of people into.
The hater factor, you know, the biracial, the jokes, the abuse, you know, that comes along with that. And if, you know, most of the dads are locked up or incarcerated, then that struggle falls onto the mom. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and
so
you're leaving a
I
white
respect,
woman to raise a black child.
I respect
child,
the struggle.
Very difficult.
Exactly. Yeah, very
and
difficult.
I respect the struggle. That's why when I get out of prison or being incarcerated or whatever, you know, I want my black women to welcome me, you know, and to let me know, you know, that, hey, there's a black beautiful queen out here for you. You don't have to go outside your race, you know what I'm saying, and all that. Be a father to your kids and, you know, help you with the struggle.
Exactly,
you know,
and our black men, they need to step up and be kings that our queens need. You know, we follow your
that.
Lead.
Exactly.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Because,
you know, we need the black race to step up. We need to learn to love each other. We need to learn to love ourselves. And we need to learn to come together because there's so much black crime. And how does that show that we love each other when you're a blood, there's a Crip, but we're all black and we're all fighting each
exactly.
other.
Exactly. And then we're one of the races that really does identify light-skinned as dark-skinned as being two different type of black people. When in all actuality, we're all suffering the same being discriminated against, and we're all suffering the same things in America against white America. But between
you know,
each other, it's a constant you know, joke. Oh, you light-skinned it. Oh, you dark-skinned it. You know, you bring someone too light home, and it's a problem. You bring someone too dark home, and it's a problem within the family. So it's like we need to really just come together as Black America, and sisters support sisters, and our men support our women, and women support the children, and we'll be able to grow a lot better.
And our men respect each other. Our men have to respect other men as well.
Yeah, but
very good point, Noel.
But a Black man living in white America, you take a light-skinned brother like Drake, who's Canadian, a worldwide artist. So is he Black? Is he
Canadian? I look at Drake as Canadian. I don't look at him as
Well, he's
a Black
not an American,
guy.
So he's a foreigner.
His fan base. It's biracial, interracial. Everybody loves Drake, from Japan all the way to the U.S., right? Everybody loves Drake, right?
Right.
And then you look at
I think a lot of people love Drake for his talent and for his music, just like I think a lot of worldwide people loved Michael Jackson for his music.
Yeah, but he didn't know if he was Black or white, so...
And see, there we go with the jokes again. And I hate to be the person to point this out, but I'm going to make this point because I like to make it a lot in real life. And since I have a target audience, I like to make the point that Black people need to stop doing.
Now, what about some of those Kardashian girls?
What about them?
My point real quick.
Are they Black?
Let Renee finish her point, please.
When Obama became president, everyone's screaming, I have a Black president. I have a Black president. When Halle Berry won the Academy Award, the first Black woman to win an Academy Award. Stop taking us mixed people when it's convenient and claiming them and saying, we have the first Black president. We have the first African-American woman to win an award. But then when it's not convenient, well, I don't know what they are. I don't know. Are they white? Are they Black? You know, and I think that causes a lot of problems, and that really bothers me that happens.
Now, I just saw on the news where I guess the Bachelor show or the Bachelorette show is finally going to have, like, a Black Bachelorette.
Okay.
And she's hoping to get chosen by these white guys, which is another interracial relationship. She's like, wants to get married and da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, and which is good, you know what I'm saying? I don't have anything against interracial couples, biracial relationships, none of that stuff. I'm just saying our Black sisters and our Black men need to somehow come together and just, you know, continue to replenish the earth. That's all.
And I totally agree with you, and I would love to see that happen one day.
Me too.
But it takes a nation.
It
takes a village.
We have to change the way that we think and the way that we behave, I think, as a race in general.
Yeah.
There you go. I love it. You know, and, you know, if maybe, you know, when we raise our kids, you know, we raise them the right way and, you know, with a hands-on father, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of these guys, you know, don't mind being Mr. Moms, staying at home and holding down the house while, you know, mommy's at work, because Black men, it's hard to get a job, especially with a criminal record or background, you know what I mean? So, you know, if that's what we have to do to survive, you know, to keep our household together, then that's what we have to do. There's no shame in, you know, staying at the house, taking care of the house, watching the kids.
Oh, no, definitely not. I think it takes two people to raise children. It takes two people to be successful in this world. Like, that's what we were here and designed for. And by taking the man out of a home in general is automatically set up for failure. And that's what America has been trying to do to us in the general. So if we can get the Black man into the home, whether he's helping raising the children or going out into the workforce, we will be more successful in general.
Right. And see,
we need to get them men back into the home.
Right. When that happens, when, you know, the Black man is out there hitting the pavement day in, day out, trying to find a job, put in applications online and all that other stuff, some of the homies get the feeling like, you know, they just a lazy hustler or a couch potato hustler because they hanging out at the house all day and, you know, they getting all this negative energy, you know, from their so-called homeboys, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know, it really can be frustrating.
So do you have any suggestions on how a black man can win over his black queen again? Could you give the black kings out there some suggestions on how to treat a black woman?
To make her want to stay at home and close
That's
to
right.
home?
That's right, yes.
Man, let me tell you, the answer is yes. Because, let me tell you, I believe that the same way you got her, it's the same way you have to do to keep her. It's like the love, the gifts, you know, the outings, all that stuff, you know, cannot change. You know what I mean? You have to, like, do the things that you normally would do. Like when Valentine's Day, you know, comes around. I mean, hey, everybody just feel like, well, let me just get her a little something, something, you know,
mm-hmm.
just because it's Valentine's Day
mm-hmm.
and it's not really coming from the heart. You got to do stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like my baby mama told me that she wants to jump on one of those carnival cruises and go to like Australia or something. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You know, so you gotta kind of keep the fire burning.
Exactly.
And, you know, you have to have a made up mind that this is what it is. This is where you're at. This is your family. This is what it is. And you just have to stay focused and, you know, be protective over your family. And, you know, you just keep being that sweet, innocent dude, you know, the kind that just say, whatever, man, whatever. I just spent all the money off the card, whatever, man. You know what I'm saying? Just whatever. You know what I'm saying? The man should be able to step down sometime and let his girl shine sometime. You know what I'm saying?
Or shine together.
Most definitely.
Most definitely.
Yeah, but, you know, some of these dudes is so busy out there flossing, you know what I'm saying, ripping and running, you know, trying to, you know, look like they doing the most, and a girl is, you know, sitting over there looking dull, you know what I'm saying? They got to be able to, hey, step down and, you know, let her shine sometimes.
Exactly. Well, it was so wonderful talking with you today. Renee, do you have any questions for Anthony?
No, I don't. I really agree with him, and I appreciate him taking the time out to come and talk to us on the show today and kind of give some inspiration and some thought process and his view on a very important subject that it's a little touchy. Everybody's kind of scared to talk about it, but I appreciate you coming through and talking to us with us and sharing your ideas, and hopefully you touch someone out there and get them to make some changes and we can get on a whole new plateau. So I appreciate you talking to you today, Hollywood.
I certainly
the
do,
pleasure
too.
Was all mine. The pleasure was all mine. And, again, you know, it's all about, you know, unity and togetherness and, you know, trying to, you know, keep, you know, one nation under groove, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, you know, let's get these brothers to get into some programs and to stay out of these penitentiaries and behind these prison walls and try to get them to do something constructive in their lives. And
I think you said it best when you said, bring our brothers back home. I really like that.
Yeah.
I love that. Yes,
well,
bring our brothers back home.
That's right.
We want you
Real
in
talk.
Our homes. We need you as fathers, husbands, brothers, uncles, cousins.
Right.
We need
All
you
that.
At home. So I think that was
All
the
that.
Best phrase of
you know,
the day.
Yeah, because a lot of these youngsters are growing up these days with no role models, no hands-on father figures, you know what I'm saying? Nobody, no positive role models in their lives, you know? And, you know, those
exactly.
are the ones that be falling through the cracks of society and getting themselves in trouble as juveniles, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So we really have to, you know, be watchful of our kids. We
exactly.
have to construct every move, you know? From health, education, welfare, and future. That's what our jobs are. You know, that's our role as parents. We have to protect all that.
Well, I love that.
Well, listeners, call in live. You're listening to Current Situations Radio on BBS. If you have a comment or a question, call in at area code 888-627-6008. Well, Anthony, I really enjoyed speaking with you today. Would you like join us for the Nay or Yay segment?
I sure would.
Okay, wonderful.
All right, let's get it popping.
Let's get it popping. Okay, our first question comes from Audrey from Inglewood. She says, Renee, I'm 63 years old. I'm currently raising my 15-year-old granddaughter. I found some things on her Instagram that I don't understand. Please tell me what these emojis and memes mean. I've even tried to Google them. So, Renee, she has three that she would like clarity on. And these were the three that she says that were most used. The first emoji she would like to know is, what's an eggplant?
Well, definitely, I think if you're kind of on the social media front, we all kind of know that Yuzi stands for a penis. That's like the version of getting the D or a penis emoji. So that's what that represents as far as I know.
As far as I know, too, and her, oh my goodness, and her granddaughter is only 15 years old. So grandma, that's what eggplant means in social media world. The next one, Renee, is monkey. What does monkey mean? I have an idea.
Okay, well, there's different monkeys from just off the top of my head. I believe there's the see no evil monkey, hear no evil monkey, and speak no evil monkey.
Okay.
So it could mean a various of things depending on how it's put inside the phrase. So that was kind of iffy. I'd have to kind of know what was actually said because it could be, you know, in reference to that. I see a lot of reference to the hear no, speak no evil type thing when we use the monkey.
Okay, and last but not least, I know this one, Netflix and chill. It took me a while to get it.
Now, this little girl needs to be banned from
social media. Thank you. Anthony, are you there?
Because she's using a lot of adult phrases and a lot of adult emojis. So,
yes, she
as
is.
You know, in today's society, Netflix and chill is the prelim or the pregame for sex.
Wow. So, Grandma, I think you need to have a talk with your 15-year-old granddaughter. And maybe you definitely should keep monitoring her social media account. What do you think, Renee? Especially you having a teenage daughter. How old is your daughter? 16?
She's 16. She just turned 16.
Okay. How would you feel if you saw her using some of these phrases and some of these emojis? Would it concern you?
Oh, definitely. I don't feel as though she should be using adult-type emojis or adult slang, or there's a fine line that she has to stick to that where she doesn't represent herself as being too adult. And I think that they're trying to make other kids, you know, interesting. They're trying to get their likes up. They're trying
right.
to be popping on the Internet. So they're using things that are an adult frame, and she's not allowed to do that. And if I do see something like that, it immediately comes down. And
so
I do threaten and take away her social media.
So you do monitor your daughter's social media account?
Oh, consistently. And I have my friends and family, aunts and uncles and so on, and cousins and so on that are friends with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they're quick to call me and tell me if they see something that they don't like. And she's not allowed to restrict family or delete family or anything like that.
Because
oh,
I love
that. If they see something
that
they don't like, they're going to call me, and it's going to be a problem. So, yeah, definitely talk to your granddaughter. I think she's using too much of an adult-type slang or emojis and stuff like that. So, yeah, she might
well,
need a break from social media.
Yes. Well, there you go, Audrey from Inglewood. I hope that gave you some clarity. Our next question is coming from Stephanie F. from Santa Clarita. This situation is for Noel. Oh, my. I follow you on Twitter, and I feel like I already know you. I grew up in the church. Both of my parents are pastors. I'm 33 years old and have recently just found out, oh,
that my father is having an affair with one of the members of the church. This lady is also one of my mom's dearest friends. I caught them kissing in his office a few weeks ago. I just stormed out in shock. Since that Sunday, I have not been at church, and I have been avoiding my parents. We live in the same town. I know that eventually I can't keep running. Oh, wow. Thanks so much for Thanks so much, Stephanie. Wow. I'm just going to keep it real. My first reaction was, ooh, I'm telling Mama. I mean, this situation here, it involves infidelity, betrayal, loyalty. Stephanie, I say talk to your mother and let her handle it accordingly. It's not going to be easy, but you're going to have to be supportive to your mom. And I would just say remember to always put family first, and I would definitely let my mom know what type of friends she has. Renee, I would just love your input on this.
Well, my thing, what I would do is I would talk to my father, and I would let him know that if that he needs to talk to mom, and if he doesn't tell, that I will. That he's put me in a very messed up situation, and I don't want to be involved with it, and it's not my mess, and I shouldn't have to be involved with it. But now that I know, I would appreciate that he comes clean with mom, or else I will.
Exactly.
So I would give him the opportunity to talk to his wife and resolve the situation where maybe she doesn't have to even be involved in the whole mess of the situation. But if it comes to the point where he's not telling, yes, you are obligated to tell your mother.
Exactly. So Stephanie from Santa Clarita, that's close too. I hope that this did give you some type of clarity. Our next question is coming from Tina from Riverside. Nay, my boyfriend and I have been together for 2 years. We both have Facebook accounts, but last week I found out that he has a second Facebook page that he never told me about under an alias. Weird thing is, I noticed that my best friend is one of his friends on this page I know nothing about. She likes every freaking thing that he says and makes inappropriate, flirty comments on his pictures. Renee, what should I do?
Kick them both to the curb, okay?
I knew you were going to say that.
Your best friend, there's a lot of little fooling going around with friends and significant others, which I don't understand. We've been best friends for 25 years. About 25 years. And not one time in our relationship have I or you ever been concerned about overstepping boundaries with our significant others or any type of those issues. You know, they all know, I mean, not all, but we've been through different relationships during those, that's a long period of time. So during those that time period, we've had different relationships. And there's never been an issue with your significant other or my significant other where I felt threatened or I've been even concerned about the question of loyalty. And that's what best friends do. So if you have an issue with something that your best friend is doing, that's not your best friend. Take the term out your mouth. Let that go. This is another situation where you're going to end up like the previous caller, you know, where you got something going on. And you don't need to be involved with any of that. And I don't think there's any legitimate answer for why all of this is going on behind your back. Trust me, if I found out that my best friend's husband had a Facebook account that she didn't know about or that she wasn't friends with him on, I would immediately tell her.
Immediately.
It wouldn't be a question, a thought, nothing. It would be no lacking. There would be no leaking. I would be automatically telling my best friend that what's going on. And anybody knows that if you don't want me to tell my best friend something, you don't let me know. So that's just the way that best friends work, in my opinion. So you need to cut the ties with both of them because they both got some funny, janky stuff going on.
I totally agree.
Like
and both of them should point blank be loyal to you.
So thanks,
and
Kelly.
It shows like both of them are not showing any type of loyalty towards you. Like,
none at
you're
all.
You're sneaking around behind your back. She's liking everything that he says. I can't imagine he's that, you know, witty.
And
or...
leaving flirty comments, Kelly says, as well. And that's totally a no-no.
So I want to ask Hollywood, what does he think about that? Is this something normal that maybe she shouldn't be worried about? Is it just me, or?
Hi, how are you doing? Renee?
Yes.
Yes.
Kick them both to the curb.
Okay, for sure. We're going to keep it real on that one, girl.
Okay.
Any type of loyalty.
This situation is driving me crazy. This is Kelly from Diamond Bar. This question is for Noel. I am a white female involved with a Hispanic man. We both are 25 and have only been dating a few months. Every time we go out, if another man even looks at me, it's a problem. At first, it was flattering, but eventually, it became to the point where he is now taking it to a physical level and then blames me. I really like him, but he cannot control his temper. Wow. Well, thanks, Kelly, so much for sharing your situation. Yes, I think Bae definitely sounds like he has an anger management problem, and I also think that he has trust issues as well. And the fact that he acts up and then blames you, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's right. This definitely concerns me, Kelly. I think you need to talk to Bae and express your concerns and even see if he's open to, I don't know, anger management or something. Is that just jealousy, Anthony? What do you think?
Well, I think that, you know, first of all, everybody didn't see the O.J. Simpson trial, but I'm just joking. But the thing is, you know, when people enter into these interracial relationships, they have to already know that wherever they go, they're going to stick out like a sore thumb. Everywhere they go, they're going to turn heads. People are going to whisper. People are going to point. They're going to talk. And you have to be able to handle that and embrace that. And for a person to blame the wife or the girlfriend,
right,
and give her, you know, a hard time and want to get abusive. Now, hey, I'd have been doing the Nate dance. Kick him to the curb because there's somebody out there better for you. You know what I mean? You don't have to take that kind of abuse. I mean, shoot, I'm sure guys and women alike stare at the female when she's by herself. You know what I'm saying? So if he can't handle it, kick his behind to the curb.
And what do you think,
Dan? I totally agree. I totally agree. And there's always a difference between an issue or an argument or a discussion behind something. And once it becomes violent, where someone's putting their hands on you, I just totally don't agree with that. I don't think there's any reason or justification that you can say that it's okay to put your hands on someone. So that's the part that bothers me more so the issues about being jealous or... The issue
insecure.
That I have with that is that he's becoming violent. And from my opinion and what I've seen, that type of situation only gets worse. It never gets better.
So, it never does. It never does.
Right.
So
I can't say that counseling or talking or anything in this type of situation is going to help you. First thing first is to get out of an abusive situation. When you have man or woman, because women are abusive too, you know,
exactly.
And if you have someone that's in your life that is not adult enough to talk and speak rationally without trying to be violent, they're not somebody that's in a position to be in a relationship with, men or women. So you
I
need
agree.
To
totally.
Back up out that
totally.
Situation and put yourself first and not lower your standards in order to be with someone that is going to physically hurt you. So that goes to everyone out there that's listening. Please, if you're in a domestic violence situation, man or woman, it never gets better. It only gets worse. And the best choice is to leave now before ultimately something bad happens. You end up getting your keys knocked out, you know, a broken eye socket. There's so many different things that, and I totally do not agree with a domestic violence situation. So there's, I wish I had some numbers or something to give you guys to call. I definitely will next segment. But please find some resources and get out of that situation. Reach out to friends and family because it never gets any better.
Right.
It doesn't. Never be a victim of domestic abuse. Yes.
You know, guys like that, you know, who like, won't rather for a woman to fear them than love them, and you know, guys who feel like they need to use a woman as a crutch or to solidify their own manhood, you know, just get out of that thing. You know what I'm saying? You don't need a guy like that. So take their advice, get out quickly, girl. Kick him to the curb.
So that situation is definitely a nay. Do we all agree?
Yes, we all agree.
We all agree.
Okay. Oh, this just came in. Okay. Actually, this situation is driving me crazy. This is for Renee. I wish to remain anonymous. I'm a lesbian who is currently dating another female. Lately, I have been having feelings for a coworker who is male. Mind you, I have never felt this way towards a male before. What should I do? Should I act on it?
Did she say that she was involved in a relationship with a woman? Or
yes, she's a lesbian and she's currently involved with another female. Yes.
Well, I would think that you respect your relationship because your relationship should be your priority if you're in a relationship with a woman, a man, or however that works. So I would say no. If you're really considering, you know, I say get the D, but, you know, hey, break up with your girlfriend. You know, if you want to consider and see how this would go and how a heterosexual relationship is, that's a totally natural thing to do. So from my opinion, being a heterosexual female, I'm going to say, yeah, this is something that you need to do.
Really,
but
I think she needs to explore her options.
So you need to talk to your girlfriend. Maybe you need to go on a hiatus from this relationship because you're having natural heterosexual feelings.
And I love
so
how you added
yes,
the word
explore those
natural
instincts, but don't hurt your girlfriend in the process. So you need to, if you're considering doing this, go ahead, take a break from the relationship, break up with her, and explore those natural emotions.
I totally agree.
Was that
agree
a bad
with
advice?
You.
I don't know. I'm sorry, but
no,
yay,
I totally
I'll say
agree
yay,
with
girl.
You.
But don't hurt your girlfriend in the process because I don't condone cheating. But if you feel as though it's something that you want to do and being an adult and this is something that you want to explore, I say go for it.
I disagree.
Okay, Anthony, what do you think?
I think like that because, you know, not that, you know, I've been there and done that, but I dated a chick who was a lesbian and then had broke up with her girlfriend. And as out of spite, she used me. You know, like, you know what? I'm so done with you, girl. I'm about to get back on some ding-ding. You know? And so, you know, at the end of the day, that me and her just kind of messed around for like a couple of months, and she ended up going back to her lesbian girlfriend.
Oh, wow. Now, how does that make you feel as a man?
I felt used.
I think you said that already,
though. Really, she just took advantage of me. You know, she was going through what she was going through. She was on the rebound. And, you know, I'm a good catch. And, you know, I know how to, you know, walk into a room and upstage some people. You know what I'm saying? So I was good for her ego, but I was...
But I didn't
you know,
get that feeling from our anonymous caller. I don't think that she has a... From what I'm getting from her question is, I don't think this is a rebound type of situation.
No,
I don't
she has never had feelings
she's
for
unhappy inside of her lesbian relationship. I think she's just experiencing a natural feeling or emotion that she has with a man that maybe she never have felt before. So I think it's a natural thing to do to try to explore that. So I'm not
That's something she has already explored in college. Okay.
But she said she never really felt that way towards a man before. So I said that she should explore it.
Okay, so then what she does explore, she's going to say, and go back to her girlfriend. And what does that lead? The black man or the Mexican man or whatever. You know, is that what we can do? Just break up with whoever for a couple of months and go off jet skiing and stuff with, you know, the nephew or whoever? And just say,
I respect that more than someone being in a relationship with me and lying to me and cheating on me behind my back. And then anything about what's
but
happened.
But whatever happened to, like, you know what? I'm not ready for all this yet.
Well,
I just got out of one relationship. I don't need to be hopping right back into another one.
Well, if you're
what happened to that? What
honest,
happened to taking a break? What happened to being celibate for a couple of months or until you patch things up with your ex-lover? I mean, where do those morals come in at?
That's a whole nother show, Hollywood.
Right, that's a whole nother show that we
went.
But I would
know,
that
of course,
you know,
and then you look at the guy. Do you know what a trophy it is for a guy to knock down a lesbian chick?
Oh, really?
You know what I'm saying? So, come on.
Oh,
I don't think it would work.
I think that's something masculine.
I beg your pardon?
I think that, does that make you feel more, make men feel more masculine?
Yeah, we feel dominant. We're like Hercules, you know, we're invincible. I mean, how many guys do you know that have knocked down, like, you know, a chick that never experienced a guy before? Come on, it's like a virgin.
That's like a virgin. I was just getting ready to say that. You're basically
a
virgin.
Come on.
Right.
Come on. There's no more virgins around, so where are you going to find that at, huh? That's a You'll be like a colonel.
Okay, I think we
have. Well, I don't know. I'm a firm believer in following your heart. So if it's something that you want to do, I think that you should do it and not hold any regrets, because you will eventually regret not trying something that you want to do. It's not something someone
else
can take
inside
your
head. Take your time with it. Take your time.
Okay, let me get to this last question. Renee, I am a 40-year-old woman who is going through a divorce that will be final soon. My question is, what do men who are over 40 and seriously looking for a relationship looking for in a woman? I was wondering, actually, if Anthony could answer this question. This question just came in. So, Anthony.
Yeah, because I really don't know what to say.
What is a man looking for in a woman over 40? Are there certain things that she has to have? Anthony, are you there?
Well, it looks like we might have lost him. So I'm going to just kind of step in here and say that I think that age shouldn't really make a difference. I think as an adult, we're all looking for the same thing as far as if you're dealing with somebody 40 or 29, you know,
exactly.
I think that they're looking for stability. I think that they're looking for security. I think they're looking for love and affection just like anyone else. So I don't think it's a good thing for her to be putting herself into this over 40 type group thing that she's trying to, like, put herself into and just look at it as, you know, what anyone
wants. Oh, I have
wants,
a caller.
What
I'm
anyone
sorry.
Wants in a relationship. What?
Paula, are you there? Renee, I believe we have a caller.
I'll bring him in.
Paula, are you there?
Hello? Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, welcome to BBS Radio.
Yes, I want to make a comment.
Okay.
On the lesbian situation.
Okay.
Yes. Well, I think that she should let her girlfriend know about her feelings about the mate. I mean, about the man and her job.
Okay. Let me go back to the other question about the just to bring anybody that's
okay. We have 1 minute.
To the question
so
about
caller,
the
what was it that you wanted to say, caller?
Yes, I wanted to make a comment about the lesbian situation.
Okay, and what's your comment?
Yes, I think that she should let her girlfriend know about her feelings about the man at her job and talk it over with her to see what kind of response she gets from her about having the feelings for a man. Because she may be not a lesbian, but she may be a bisexual.
Right. Valid point. Well, thank you so much, Charlene, for calling in. You have a wonderful day. And thank you. You were actually my first caller. I love you so much.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for tuning in to BBS Radio.
Thank you so much, listeners. I love you. Thank you for listening to Current Situations Radio on BBS Radio. And thank you so much to my co-host, Renee Reeves. Love you. Peace out. And what's your situation?